Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
From an East Asian perspective, there's too much human right in this country.
I'm going off Twitter for a bit.
Right.
Legend, the Hannah George story.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Some people have too much money.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Or should I say Drunk Men Solving Crime? It is the last episode of this year's Men's Month. We are joined by the fantastic comedian Quan Wen.
Hey! Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm out with my teddy bear.
Yes.
Yeah, so always a joy when I take him out. Maybe for him. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh man, anyone listening at home, check out our social media, because we will have posted some excellent photos of us doing some hilarious japes with the bear drinking. He really looks like he's enjoying what we're saying.
First guest we've had to bring a teddy bear. Hope it's not the last. It's brought untold joy.
Yeah. This is awesome.
Also the huge suitcase you brought with you.
I bought that suitcase in Edinburgh.
Did you?
Because I went to Edinburgh Fringe Festival with one suitcase. I bought so many rubbish. I ended up with another suitcase.
What did you buy? Like shortbread? I just feel like, what was it? Just the Scottish
thing? Yeah, what
thing?
Went
okay.
in there?
I kid you not. I bought a dehumidifier at the start of the Fringe Festival because the place I found was so damp. You know, very typical British housing.
God.
And I thought, I felt by not doing just a tonic, I would save my lung for another collapse. But it turns out the accommodation was just horrible. So I bought it and I sold it at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Clever. Oh, smart to sell it. Okay, all right.
All right, that's... Well, with that, right...
that didn't go in a luggage, just random stuff,
This is... Okay, we are dealing... We have a genius on the force. This is good.
We don't know how much you sold it for. The new,
like. No, the new recruit is thinking outside the box, and I like it. Juan, we have one question.
Yes.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. Actually, maybe it's not me. It's more Nunu was the true victim.
Okay.
Nunu is my teddy bear.
The bear. Yes.
Yeah, that means a teddy in French. Nunu's.
Oh.
I stole him from my French ex.
Okay.
So I make sure, because like we didn't live in the same city, and sort of Nunu just spent 6 months here and there between France.
Oh, that's
France
very
and
rough
UK,
on a bear.
But that's very typical modern European, right? Yeah. And I make sure I had him before I broke up with my ex.
Oh, very clever.
And he requested shared custody and just ignored it for years.
So you have kidnapped this bear.
I didn't. I think he would have chosen if he could. Obviously, London is better than a French part. It's not Paris. It's a provincial town.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. Anyway, so this year I took Nunu to Edinburgh to do the Fringe Festival, and Nunu was part of the show. That means every day to prep for the show, I have to take him walking to the venue. So I pick an accommodation super close by venue. It's a very short 5 to 8 minute walk. And day in, day out, because people bring shit, crazy shit during Fringe. I think the locals are used to.
Yeah.
They're immune to seeing weird stuff.
Yeah.
So I lost any sense of shame. Like, on the first day, I would try to hide him in back, and eventually I just like put heads around and said, look, the beautiful city of Edinburgh. One day, I think it was halfway through the festival run, I was on my way back, and I felt this whoosh sound. Someone was running really fast past me, and suddenly I saw Nuno's leaving my sight. So I once saw watched a video on YouTube. It's like a family release a bunny to the garden and said, look, little bunny. And to the little daughter's horror, an eagle just flew down and snapped the bunny and flew away. So I feel exactly
sorry to laugh.
Right, that was really funny, right? Except I was on receiving and I saw
was your bunny.
That my nonos, my love was leaving me because I never let him out. Like this Edinburgh Fringe Festival was exception.
Yeah.
And I say that don't get spoiled, you don't get to go out there often, except I broke my rule because he's out again today. Anyway, I saw why is he flying out of my vision, and realized someone snatched him because I put Nunu's in a big bag, and because I had so many stuff, so I only take him in my on my left hand side.
Yeah,
I didn't hold it or hug him, so I walk from the shock and I start to chase that guy.
Yeah.
I say, please, I was pleading initially. I said, don't, I need the teddy for my show. And then he was still running. I was still running. I started almost crying. I said, please, I really, really need him. But he was just running. And I ran faster than I ever could. And he started doing a U-turn and zigzagging. We were on a two lane. So we were running between cars. But it's a narrow street of Hotel Edinburgh. And I started yelling, help! He's got my... Because you can imagine when people say that. Help! He's got my rucksack or wallet. And I said, help! He's got my teddy bear. So I think the locals were kind of confused and shocked as well. I was like, this sentence just doesn't make sense. So I was still running after him. But thank God the Edinburgh locals were kind. I don't think this would have happened in South London where I live.
Because
three gentlemen, I would say Scots in their 50 and 60, the uncles, three of them tried to block him on different occasions. So he couldn't flee the thing. And he saw my determination, so he didn't drop the teddy bear.
Oh.
And he wanted to flee. And Nunu was sort of flattened and dropped to the ground in the middle of the road. Thank God no car ran over him. So I took him up and was filled with rage. I started chasing that guy. I didn't let him go. And he thought I would have stopped. I said, no, you enraged the mother bear. I'm not going to let you go. Right? So I was running after him, and he ran into these small alleys, and I keep turning, and I realized that I have to make him believe that I stopped when I don't. So I deliberately stopped for a second or two, and then he thought he lost me. And I started again, and I saw him go into a dead end trying to remove his hoodie and his rucksack, and I appear with the teddy in my hand. And he was like, ooh, what do you want? I say, you think you can get away with this that easily? So I went straight to him and choke his neck against the wall and start to pull his hair, because I thought if I'm gonna hit him, I can't hit him in the face because it will be bruises and bleeding and I will be accused of assault, right? So I have to attack him where there's less visual evidence.
Of course.
So I start to grab his hair and kick him. And he said, dude, are you crazy? I said, no, you mess with my teddy bear. I'm not gonna let you go. Oh, so God. He was running and I grab him again and kick him and kick him and straight into the belly button stomach. And he ran away. He ran into a pub and I ran into the pub after him.
Oh my God.
And he's like, this guy's crazy. He wants to kill me. So the security kicked me out. I was not happy, but then he thought he was safe. And then security kicked him out as well and say, not our problem. So when I was just about to start the second round of kicking, then people were shouting, police, police. So I saw two policemen coming towards me. So I cannot be seen attacking me in front of policemen. So I stopped and he tried to flee. I just kept pulling his jacket so he couldn't go. So the police arrived. And I want to say to the police, he tried to kidnap my teddy bear. But I still know what people who don't love teddy bear think. So I said, okay, he tried to rob me of my teddy bear. But I think it's actually a kidnap, right? Yeah, so there was the kidnap attempt. And I think he succeeded. So he managed to kidnap Nunu's. But it's thanks to the nice old gentleman in Edinburgh. So I got my teddy bear.
I love Scotland for that. That's great. Fucking hell, what a story.
I have to say, one of them looked like he probably had heart arthritis and he was still trying his best to block.
Oh my
between
goodness.
Between cars, like this old silver white hair, the old gentleman trying his best with these difficult knees. And that was really touching.
That's absolutely lovely. That's really heartwarming.
So I think from the police point of view, it was robbery, but they probably think that there's no particular value. So it's not like a robbery. I think from their perspective, it's like that.
So did they arrest him?
They didn't, but I think to give him a lesson, they did a full-on body search.
Oh, okay.
Just in case he had any TY babies in there.
And check through his... I think I could see him literally shaking, because he might be thinking, I don't know whether he could carry any drugs. He was a youngster.
Right.
So that would have served as a lesson, but they did say there would be no record. They would give him a verbal warning.
Right.
What do I think? And by that time, his little girlfriend arrived on the scene holding a pizza. So he probably was waiting for his girlfriend to have a date, right? They're supposed to spend quality evening together. Wow. Instead, he saw a giant, tall, big, fluffy East Asian guy walking past with a giant teddy bear. He thought it would be hilarious to rob him of his bear.
Yeah.
Except the mother bear doesn't let go. I became a psycho chihuahua. So the pizza has gone cold and the police asked me, are you happy with that? And I said, I want to request to speak with his girlfriend. That's all I want.
So, and did you?
I did. I was trying to do like X Factor sopping story, but I was just giving on this energy. Dump him. But I was saying that I'm an immigrant in this country. I have no one but this teddy bear. That's not true. I have 63 other teddy bears in my life. Although Nunu is obviously my favorite, I just say to him, like, I could not imagine living without my teddy bear.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend almost robbed me of that. But I would just channel energy, like, dump him, mercilessly. Yeah.
And do you think you were getting through? Did she look really disappointed in him? Or did she look like she didn't really care?
She just gave this what the fuck.
And to be fair, I get it. So what a scene she's come into.
He saw that it was a teddy bear. He didn't like grab your bag thinking it could be something else.
Yeah, because his head was poking up on a Zara shopping bag. So, and he pulled Nuno out of the shopping
this
bag.
This was a bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah, what fucking
this was absolutely like, it's not about value. It's about, I'm going to bully this person.
Yeah.
What's this guy doing with a teddy bear? Fuck him.
But I'm taller than him and I'm bigger than him. And he just thinks because of my ethnicity, I can't be a threat. I'm fucking psycho. If you
I mean, we've all learned that today. We've all learned that.
I love
that.
It as well. You're like, I can't hit him somewhere but people can see. I'm going to love that. Like,
no, I could calculated, have. Like, and I could have used my fist, but if he start nose bleeding, then I know when police arrive, I would be
And it worked out, actually, didn't it? Because the police did arrive. And
I don't want to use the language, but from East Asian perspective, it's too much human right in this country. I'll give you an example. The police in this country try to use a tactic. They will use the car to bomb the those people on mobile, stealing people's mobile phone on the pavement. And the first thing, a lot of people would then say that it's really dangerous. Police shouldn't be hurting people. My view, maybe it comes from the background. When I grew up, it wasn't for democracy. I just thought, but they shouldn't commit the crime first or attempt to commit the crime first. I mean, I'm learning to meet you guys in the middle. I don't know. I wouldn't think that, oh, it's great, we are hurting them, but yeah.
No, I know what you mean, because that, I mean, it must still be happening. I've left London, guys. I just couldn't stand all the mobile phone thefts I left. But I remember this being a big conversation, that it was even if you were the victim of it, it was like, be careful that you don't knock them off the moped because you can be charged with assault, even though they're taking your phone. But I remember this conversation, and then I thought, because it was happening a lot in the neighborhood I lived in, and I thought someone was coming up to steal my mobile one day, and so I just instinctively kicked sideways. Sure, I'm a yellow belt in kickboxing, no big deal. I kicked sideways and then looked and realized it was just a delivery driver. Oh, no. Close to me, and I was like, oh no, I'm that white woman. I'm that white woman who just kicked a delivery driver. Wow.
But part of the reason I was able to stop and think and delay that 1 or 2 seconds is because this kind of attempted mobile theft happens to me 3 or 4 times where I live in South London. I have a very strong grip. I think I train myself sexually, but like when I hold... But when I hold my phones, when people try to grab it, they couldn't. Like people try to steal my phone, they just couldn't grab it. And also, I tend to hold it in both hands. Like a...
That is such a great visual. It's just like amazing.
But they tend to be on a bike. So despite my chasing, I never managed to reach. But once I was carrying a tripod for my comedy show, I would film myself. Yeah. I'll carry a tripod. I was this close to take out the tripod and try to whip it, you know, like a boomerang. But I was like, what if I accidentally hit a car parking on the side and just So I thought about this kind of revenge scenario. In this case, this guy was the unlucky one because he wasn't on the bike. I was able to get to him in the end. I probably unleashed all my anger accumulated over the years.
Yeah, also, like, just a run at Edinburgh will do that to you. Like, that's just...
I would have gotten winded halfway through this journey. I would have been like, I want to take you down, but I just can't. I can't. Yeah. The fact that you just kept going around all these turns.
If it had been my mobile phone, I might have. But because it was Nunu's, I was heartbroken and angry. I couldn't control my emotion at that time.
Adrenaline. Just
no, it's motherly love.
Motherly love.
I'm so impressed. We always ask on this. We always ask on this podcast, what would you say if you had the perpetrator now? But you basically caught the perpetrator and you got to have a go. So is there anything you would add that you wished had happened differently? Or
I think I would have insisted to the police, it wasn't a robbery. He's not attempted because he managed to rob me. I got it back. Yeah. I know eventually maybe I wouldn't let him go at the verbal warning. I said, no, I want a record.
On press charges.
Yeah, press charges.
How old do you think this guy was, like, ish?
16, 17.
Okay.
Okay.
Little bully.
Yeah. Oh, what a little shit.
On his way to a date as well. Like, I find that fascinating. So is he going to be like, look, I got you a bear and a stone?
But I can't imagine if I didn't manage to get my teddy back, what would he do? Because he doesn't need one.
No.
He wouldn't take him to charity show, just dump him by the rail. And why? Yeah. Why does he? Maybe he has some unhappiness in his life, I understand, but... Yeah,
no, I totally get it. I love it. I love it when we solve them. You solved your own crime.
Oh my gosh. I love that that guy's like, I'm gonna fuck with this guy, and then could he have imagined that you would end up like choking him? I think he might develop like a
chubby Asian, East Asian man phobia for the rest of his life. Anyone of my physique appear in the vicinity, he start to pee himself.
Good.
Yes. Good.
Deserved.
He's learned a fucking lesson. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Well done. To Jetties.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Like so many great ideas that end in a federal investigation, this hot mess of a case will have you saying, what the actual fuck? Which is also the name of my sex tape.
Hey!
Gotta get it in. Also the name of my sex tape. So, I am bringing you wigs, forged passports, drama, billionaires, mail fraud, larceny, and more. Also, I have a crime case.
Hey.
Also, when you said male fraud, I thought you meant like just sort of
men.
Just men in general. Like, but you M-A-I-L.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the other spelling. I suppose we'd call it post fraud, wouldn't we? But yes. Okay. Spoiler: it's an American case.
So you gave that away with the wigs and the billionaires, honey.
Yes, I did. Okay, we're in 1972. American Pie by Don McLean is riding high in the charts. Just giving you background, Apollo 17 lands on the moon. Nixon is the president.
Okay. Ooh. I'm sure nothing could go wrong there. It's going to turn out fine.
He did eventually. Madonna sang American Pie, so... Yeah. If they had not, or sorry.
Nobody saw that coming. Now, a hotly anticipated book is about to be published by McGraw-Hill, a New York City publishing company. But before the publication date, officials at a company called Hughes Tool Company demand that the publication be halted. So your first question is, what is the subject matter of this book?
Hughes Tool Company.
Yes.
So it's about hammers?
So your guess for the book subject is hammers.
Well, that's what popped into my head. When you say tool, I say hammer. Tool, hammer, tool, hammer. No, what the hell?
What can be scandalous about tools?
Yeah.
Think outside the box. It doesn't have to be tools.
Elon Musk is a tool.
Think outside the toolbox, guys. So maybe it was just to do with the person that ran the tool company.
Could be.
So if somebody wants a book not to come out, do we know if it's a fiction book?
Not yet.
Okay.
Does it have to do with Watergate? What did it happen yet?
Excellent question, and hold that thought. But actually, no, Watergate hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Because, often it would be, if it was something that like an expose or something.
Okay, yeah.
About them or their daughter or something.
Right.
Maybe it's an expose of the tall man's daughter. Guess, am I right?
Okay.
Don't keep us in suspense.
So we've got tools, expose, and...
I think the company's tool may be used in some kinky sexual shit by some celebrities, and they don't want to be tainted with the image of their hammer going to...
In the sex
Stop.
Crime.
Yeah. Hammer time! Didn't realize what that song was about until now.
Okay. All excellent answers. None of you are correct.
I'm astounded.
Thank God.
Quan Wen is spot on.
I mean, Hannah is almost the nearest, but still no.
Oh.
So basically, this is an autobiography of Howard Hughes.
Okay.
Now, at this time, Howard Hughes is a 67-year-old billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He came from money, but he also has his own success in films and aviation.
I don't imagine all that money that he came from helped at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a leg up?
Now, I always confuse Howard Hughes with Hugh Hefner. So just to be clear.
It is not Hugh Hefner.
It's not Hugh Hefner.
It is a different guy.
And he was just a real eccentric billionaire, right?
Yes.
That's his main brand.
We will get to... Okay. All his eccentricities in a minute. But question, on what grounds have Hughes's company demanded publication be halted?
Oh, so how about you? I've got to say, I've heard the name, but I do not know anything about him.
He was into planes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So is it a tool that has to do with aviation?
Yeah, is that your...
Yes, that's my guess.
I will give you a little overview of him in a second.
Okay.
The Simpsons have spoofed him. You might recognize there's an episode where Mr. Burns has really long nails and hair and is obsessed by germs. That's a spoof of Howard Hughes.
Oh, he was
but we will get to that in a second. Right. So why is his company saying that they want the book publication halted?
Does it suggest that he's not a Nepo baby and that he's like...
I don't think Nepo babies have a level of self-awareness, to be fair. No. It's like, what privilege? I don't have any privilege.
Why don't you all have billions?
Yeah, exactly. I'd be an idiot not to have billions.
I had to work really hard to withdraw my trust fund.
So I imagine it's just something about, something about him specifically.
Okay.
About maybe something he's... done.
All right.
Which isn't very specific, is it?
I like it. It's more likely to be correct.
But are they accusing him of a crime in the book? They're saying,
ooh,
this is what we think that he has done this. He has embezzled. Maybe he's done some mail fraud, perhaps.
Hey.
Oh, mail fraud.
Forgot about that.
See, I'm stuck on tools. I'm like, what did he do with a hammer? Because that's the only tool I know.
I kept thinking this involves passport.
Okay.
So did he have a dual identity and he's done some weird shit in another country? Oh. Almost like a different personality identity.
Okay. That's a great guess, actually.
He was known as Boward Bues in South America.
I keep correcting myself because whenever you say Hugh, I think of the Welsh spelling. And I thought, no, this is in America. So it must be H-U-G-H, not H-U-W.
You're thinking of the Welsh spelling. Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
Oh,
H-U-W.
No,
not at all. I'm married to a Welsh guy, so it's totally
topical. You've made Taylor's day.
You have. I do. We're trained to get excited when anyone says Wales. We're like, yay! Yeah.
All right, so none of you quite have it. Basically, they want it halted, but they're saying it's fake news. A spokesperson at Hughes' tool company denounced the planned book as a fake. They say Hughes has had nothing to do with the writing of this book, and no one has his permission, and it's a scam.
Oh, so they say he wrote the book?
I'm really confused.
Yeah. So the book is an autobiography, which means that Hughes has said... here's my book of my life. And then his company comes out and said, you can't publish this. Hughes has never written an autobiography of his life.
Oh.
And you don't have his permission. Hughes has nothing to do with this book. It's fake news. It's a scam.
Oh, okay.
We want this book stopped.
I get it now.
Okay, sorry.
I'm always so amazed at like how many autobiographies are called My Autobiography, which is just that I think Victoria Beckham has one called My Autobiography.
Probably.
Also, isn't it safer to just write a biography?
Well, yeah.
Instead of pretending that he wrote it, because you wouldn't run into this kerfuffle. Just saying.
But perhaps you would get less money. Anyway, now, the publishers don't believe Hughes' company at first. They think that is a scam, them saying stop. So publishers McGraw-Hill denied the charge and expressed confidence in the authenticity of the manuscript. And because Hughes has supposedly collaborated with this writer called Clifford Irving. So my next question is, how could there possibly be any confusion at the point of publication as to whether permission has been obtained or not?
Because it was probably Hugh Hefner. They're like, oh no, we got the ghostwriter for Hugh on the phone and we're just confused.
It turns out it's the Welsh Hugh Hefner, which is just...
holy he only bunny. Had one bunny. It was really pathetic.
Is he one of the identical twins? And that's why. Because one of the twins went to the publisher and said, yeah, it's opposite you.
Oh, the evil Hughes.
Like Ursula and Phoebe from Friends, basically.
Yes.
My guess.
That would be brilliant.
Doing porn.
This really reminds me of, like, I don't know whether you had these when you were a kid, but like I'd have like annuals of my favourite like boy band, but it would say 100% unofficial. Like it was like, and I'd be like, yeah, well guys, I got the 100% unofficial one. Like you didn't know when you were a kid that meant that they had fuck all to do with it and all the pictures were stolen. But I mean, what I'm saying is they could have just put 100% unofficial
and
autobiography.
Got around it. Yeah. Okay, any other guesses? I like the twins one is my favourite. Did you answer, Taylor? Sorry, no offence.
I'm sure I had a witty quip or two.
I mean, was he dead, though? Like, is
no,
that a thing?
No, he doesn't die for... I think he's 74 when he dies. He dies later in the 70s. It's 72 at the moment. He's 67. He's still alive.
Just like Hugh Hefner.
There we go. So the reason that there could be any confusion at all is because Hughes was a total recluse... and no one has seen him for years.
Okay. So everything just would have been by post, and there's mail fraud.
Coming up right up, yes.
Woo! I'm with ya.
Oh, okay. Wow.
This is almost like a start of the zombie film. You maintain it alive because it turned into a zombie, but you don't want to let him actually die.
Did Katie mention zombies at the beginning? Because I'm very excited.
It was a long list.
To be fair, yeah, I mentioned a lot of stuff. I may have laid it on
the zombie knit passport.
So by the
zombie mail fraud, what?
So, but basically, by the late 1950s, Howard Hughes started exhibiting what gets called eccentric behaviour. He was apparently obsessed with germs, secrecy, and had severe OCD.
Yeah.
He also had had several plane crashes, which we will get to.
Several?
Yeah. And
that's too many.
One was... One in particular was pretty bad. But by the time it's the early 70s, where we are now, outside of his inner circle of servants, no one has really seen him for decades now.
Right.
He's so private. It's hard to imagine in the modern world. The closest we have now is someone going, I'm going off Twitter for a bit.
Right. And announcing it for a week.
Yeah.
Still going soon.
Yeah. We just don't have this now.
Yeah.
This author, the accused scammer, Clifford Irving. Now he's with this. So he's a writer. He's not. He's described as an unsuccessful novelist. He's written a few, like The Valley.
So harsh. Just say novelist. Just.
It's shorter. It's easier for everyone.
He's had books out, but they're not. He's never quite broken into like success.
Well, okay, it's a hard industry.
It's a hard industry.
All right.
And then he's got this friend Richard Susskind, who is a children's author. Now, they form this plan, and Clifford has provided some, you know, a piece of evidence, quote unquote, that has convinced McGraw-Hill, the publishers, that he has permission from the reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes to write his autobiography. So what has he done to convince this publishers that Howard Hughes is like, yeah, please write my book?
I can't help thinking an autobiography of a guy who's been a recluse for 20 years is going to be fucking boring. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, woke up.
Day 12. Yeah.
Made had some soup. Sandwiches.
but then I sat in again.
Yeah. Guess it's time for bed.
3 p.m. worried about germs. Wow.
But do you simply need a letter from the companies with the company letterhead, a logo, and... Because the publisher wouldn't know what his actual signature is like.
That's a great answer.
So just need to like, this is my authorization and make it look really formal. It almost reminds me of the Diana interview, the BBC journalist, right? Oh. Didn't he forge some evidence as well?
Yes, and, yeah. It was like some bank statements or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
You have touched on, like, you are slightly wrong, but you are in a good area.
She's named a my harsh sex teacher. Tape.
I didn't know it was a compliment or an insult. It was both. I feel like it's with my mom again. This is real, very, really homesick for that.
It is neither a compliment or an insult. It is just information.
It's just facts.
It's just to facts. Help guide you.
And the way it made
How
you
could
feel.
It be an insult when it's true. Okay, so partially right, partially wrong. Do you think it's the company logo that's the right bit or the signature forging?
God, I'm not sure. They're definitely forging something, but is it something different than...
Mail fraud.
We know it's mail fraud. Do they have... You know when people print out their own return address stickers?
Yeah.
And that's pretty fancy. So do they just print up some like... Howard Hughes, 227 Howard Hughes Lane.
If he's so eccentric, maybe there's an authorization with wax and the seal from the back.
That's great. So like a fake wax seal of approval.
Yeah.
I love this answer. Can you top this?
Well, I mean, because I'm thinking, because it is the 70s, right? So, like, actually, he could have some recorded him visually or recorded him audibly saying something. I think it's probably a sort of a letter-based thing because that feels like you can't really argue with a video of Howard Hughes going, go on then, do the autobiography.
So there's another author involved. I love that the children's author is like, go dodgy, baby. It's the only way to get successful. It's fantastic. Do they have a letter of approval that he legitimately gave to like a ghostwriter a long time ago and that project never happened? So maybe it's a legitimate bit of legal permission, but not to them.
Very interesting answer. You guys, look, I give out weird compliments. Last year, and I am genuinely very impressed with everybody's answers.
Yay!
I will now tell you, he had handwritten letters.
Ooh.
Said to be from Hughes.
Mm.
With his signature. Now, so that's what you were wrong about. They do have his signature because Hughes has been so famous for such a long time that previously his letters have been published in like Life magazine. And so he's like on, you know, like there's been lots of opportunities for people to actually see
forge.
His. Yeah. So actually, so they would have known what it looked like.
Name of my sex tape.
No, that's a stretch.
So there's this, you know, supposedly handwritten letter from Hughes giving Irving permission and saying, yeah, I want this dude to write my book.
Right.
Now, McGraw-Hill are not stupid. They can't just accept a random handwritten letter on face value. So they did attempt to fact check if these letters were authentic. So what they did is they submitted them to a respected handwriting analysis firm. And the handwriting analysis firm determined that they had been written by Hughes.
Oh, right.
Or you could ask the person himself. Dear Mr. Hughes, have you written these? No.
But
there was no email by then. So if they didn't have his number, then it would be difficult to.
And it's really hard to get anything through
it's
to him.
It's hard to get through
to
him.
Because he's a recluse.
Well, also, because I don't know the extent of his germophobia, but maybe he wouldn't even accept post because it's been in the
He actually that's a good point as well.
Wowzers.
So question for you guys now, early doors, who do you think's lying? Do you think that Irving is doing a scam, or do you think that Hughes has got cold feet and he actually did write this book?
I think maybe Hugh was already in a state of coma. And he's different. Did he have children? I was assuming.
No.
Oh, no. No. Okay, this doesn't work. Okay, people around him, maybe his girlfriends or maybe his servant.
He's got a couple
different
of
people have different views. So A wanted to publish this and B didn't want to. And one used the voice to say, I'm Hugh himself. The other say, no, the company himself. But it's all people around him trying to manipulate the situation.
So he's got like a little crew.
I was trying to portray it as a succession scenario, but he doesn't have children.
That's great.
They're all pulling the puppet strings.
So there's permission from someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh, I feel like. Yeah. No. I feel like the people have forged it.
Okay. Scam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like, it's the perfect crime. It's kind of like he's a recluse. I can sort of say what I want, really.
Yeah.
I think
Okay. And Taylor.
I mean, I think you gave it away at the beginning when you said mail fraud.
I did say mail fraud. This is true. Okay, yes, it is a scam.
Hey.
Yay! Yay, the scam.
So this case is called the Howard Hughes hoax, and there is a 2007 film about it starring Richard Gere.
Oh my god.
You can go check that out.
Did he reveal his bum in this one?
No.
Okay. A bit less incentive to watch it. American Gigolo.
I was going to say, stick with that. Stick with American Gigolo.
Sorry.
If you're going to have a Richard Gere marathon, this is probably not going to be one of the ones you're going to watch. Irving had faked that handwriting by getting artist friends to create letters within the handwriting because they'd seen them in Newsweek magazine. As you said, Hannah, they're totally gambling on the idea that Hughes is so withdrawn from public life, he's not going to step forward and denounce the book. Which is actually a solid plan in a way.
And I mean, this is a desperate novelist, isn't it? I'm going to veer into a different genre and it's going to be a fraud.
Also like the children's book author as well. Where did he come from?
They're just friends. Irving dragged him into it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, also, there'd been this other case where Hughes was accused of something, or like he owed some people money or something. To fight it, he would have to appear in court, and he was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just pay the money. So I think they're kind of like counting on the idea that he doesn't even give a shit. He's not going to come out and fight.
Also, I'd be like, can I read the book first? Because like, what if it sort of made me out to be like a fucking legend? And, like, only had the good bits from my life in it.
Legend, the Hannah George story.
Yeah.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
They actually renegotiate the terms halfway through before they deliver the thing. It gets up to like a million, but obviously some of it's going to Hughes. So like, I think I've got in here $765,000. That was a check, and it was made out to H.R. Hughes.
What?
So just going to come back to that in a little minute. H.R. Hughes. Now, this was a much wanted book. The public were fascinated by Howard Hughes for a good reason. We so do not have time to do anything like what we could call justice to this man's life. He's just done a million things. But he's rich because his dad invented a drill to drill for oil in a more efficient way.
Oh.
So he's oil money. Yes. And then, his mum...
It's a hell of a tool.
His mum died when he was 16, and then his dad died when he was 18. So he inherited all of this massive company, but then, like, all the other people in the company tried to, like, nick it off him and stuff. And there was, like, this big... He had to really fight to keep his company. He succeeded, but he was going to be...
I mean, I only feel a little bit bad for him so far.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, with all the interesting happening in his life, he doesn't want to have a biography out. Unlike Prince Harry, right? It's much master.
It's very Prince Harry. It is. There's a lot of parallels.
Just wants to be left alone.
Yes. Do we know where Howard lost his virginity? Very interested to find out.
Before he got worried about germs, he fucked. Actually, even after. We'll get to this, right? Hang on. So he left university to save his company. And then after he saved the company, he decides that he wants to be a film director in Hollywood.
Oh, they all
goes to Hollywood. Question, was he a successful film director in Hollywood?
I mean, we don't talk about Howard Hughes films much, do we?
No, I feel like...
Who directed Apollo 13? Not him, right? That's a horror or something. I'm so sorry. I say no because he could get confused with Hugh Hefner. So that's why he was not successful.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good answer. Do you guys think he was successful?
No. No, I don't.
Okay, no. Successful?
Look, maybe he had a one-off little indie hit. Sure.
I feel like he created something like The Room. Like, you know, he did one of those.
Yes. Oh my god.
Like the worst movies.
Yeah.
Okay, he was successful.
Oh, oh!
Up to a point. He did better than The Room. He got a nominate. Anyway, look, I'll quickly tell you. He was very controlling and an absolute nightmare to work with.
Standard.
But he had commercial success in the 1920s. Oh. He had a film called Hell's Angels in 1930, which got a nomination, an Academy Award nomination for Best Cinematography Flying Film. It cost $4 million to make because he reshot it all because he wanted it to have sound all of a sudden. He is an absolute nightmare. And then he did Scarface in 1932, and everyone was like, this is too violent.
Oh, like the original Scarface?
Yeah.
Did he? That was him?
Yeah. He does. So he's got a few films under his
belt. Was Scarface actually a remake of that Scarface, though?
All I know is he made a film called Scarface in 1932, okay. And there were complaints that it was too violent.
Wow.
And then he started to get annoyed that everyone was complaining about him.
I bet somebody stole a teddy bear in it and thought they could get away with it.
It's okay. It's fine.
Original title, New Noose.
So in the 1930s, he leaves Hollywood and gets really into aviation. And that's when we have the planes.
Okay.
So he breaks some records.
Can we just talk about billionaire men and flying for a second? And the crossover of like, you get wealthy enough and you want to go into the sky. Is that just the natural progression of like, I need to fly now?
No, they may want to dive deep in the sea as well.
There's that version too.
And sure, quite differently.
I'm going to go further than most other people can go, right? There's this...
Yeah, well, I think
drill
also,
up or drill down.
He can have everything he wants, so he doesn't have disappointment. So to feel anything, he probably has to do this kind of shit. I don't know. So anyway, he breaks the record for the around the world flight. He's like building planes as well. He builds the Spruce Goose, which the Simpsons take the piss out of.
The Spruce Goose.
So the plane crashes. One in particular was really bad, and he crushed his collarbone. There was like the sort of, it crashed and then it kind of exploded, so he had multiple cracked ribs, a crushed chest with a collapsed left lung, which actually shifted his heart to the right side of his chest cavity.
Wow. I'm sorry, what?
It's like a Doctor Who thing.
Can that happen? Can you just push that over there?
Well, apparently.
Did it stay there?
Yeah, someone stabbed me. I think that's fatal. I said, sorry, my heart's
shifting. It's here now, yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It's mad. And he had so much, many third degree burns. Also, obviously, like, his head as well. But he properly nearly died. And his doctors consider his recovery miraculous. But he was recovering for a long time and he was in a lot of pain. We don't even have time to talk about this thing with Russia and a CIA plot. And then...
I mean, that's always in there, isn't it?
Oh, he bangs loads of hot chicks, basically. And he's associated...
Finally, we get to good stuff.
We're
talking aviation and Scarface. Yeah.
Now we're talking about drills.
This is the real drilling. Give the people what they want.
I don't know what to say on this being a gay man.
You're doing just fine. You're just fine.
Well, he dates Joan Crawford.
Oh, okay.
And loads of other people whose names...
Wait a second. Do you not think it's suspicious after all the crash didn't die? I think he did turn into a zombie to a degree.
Well, hold that thought. Because some of these crashes are given credit for why he then behaved in this man.
Head injury.
So in 1958, he takes his eccentricity up a gear and he tells his aides that he wants to screen some movies at a film studio near his home. Question, how long does he spend in this studio's darkened screening room?
I don't know, but I'm embarrassed that I just went frontal lobe. And now Amanda won't cut that out because now I've pointed out. How long did he spend?
Never be funny about your mistakes.
Frontal lobe. How long did he spend in the dark caverns of the...
So he was screening them just for himself.
Yeah. So he's obsessed with films. He's super rich. He decides, you know, we can't just watch videos on YouTube like we can now.
I mean, does he have a chamber pot? Does he have people bringing him food? Because this all...
That is my question for you.
Oh my God. I bet he was there for this. If it's a real obsession, and we know he has OCD, this could be weeks.
Okay. So we've got weeks.
I'm going to say 13 days.
Okay.
Oh.
Higher or lower,
I would
guys?
Say 14 hours.
Okay.
It's basically a day minus sleep.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Okay. I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine made me watch all of the director's cuts of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, God.
All three of the fuckers, back to back. And he wasn't eccentric, he was just boring. So, no, bless him. Lovely guy. Did not take a hint as I fell asleep during those... Very long
film. Fell asleep 10 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think that normal people can do a film marathon of, you know, sort of what's that, about 10, 12 hours.
Sure.
So I think an eccentric guy who is a recluse, I'm going big. I'm going to say 3 months.
Oh, I came in so low.
But I mean, you may be right.
It's hard because are we allowing for sleep? And like, is he having naps and...
Okay.
It is what it is. Who's the closest?
Yes.
Hannah is the closest.
What?
It is 4 months. Okay.
I went low.
Oh, my God.
According to the legend of this, he didn't leave that room. He ate only chocolate bars and chicken and drank only milk. He was surrounded by dozens of boxes of Kleenex that he continually stacked and rearranged. He wrote detailed memos to his aides, giving them explicit instructions to never look at him and only speak if spoken to. He apparently sat in that chair, mainly naked, continuously watching movies.
He's living like my dream life.
I mean, what? I was going to say.
No, it sounds like alien is spawning. It just, I don't want you to look at me.
Chicken and chocolate. I'm just stuck on that.
Also, like, and milk.
Also,
and
is milk? It chicken breast or thigh?
I don't know.
Is it lean or fat part of chicken?
Yeah.
It's been, just don't know. Has it been brined?
Yeah. We haven't got enough. Thigh? We haven't got enough time for the CIA plot. But tell us about the chicken.
Oh man. So when he finally emerged in the summer of 1958, his hygiene was terrible. He had not bathed or cut his hair or his nails all that time.
Dream life.
So this
dream
is
life.
Where we have the like the stuff. Now there is a suggestion this could have been due to this condition called allodynia, which is a condition that results in pain responses to stimuli that wouldn't normally cause pain, possibly related to the burns that he had. But this type of behavior basically becomes his life. So
I hope the autobiography was called Chicken and Chocolate. Because they missed a trick otherwise.
If they were going to go for like the kind of the tell-all.
Yeah.
I think Polo Choco would be a better name. Do you think so? It rhymes. Wow. Polo Choco. Sorry.
I like it. That makes because it sound more appealing.
It's not more about chicken.
Yeah, food I understand.
So after this, he just basically lives in hotels and just does this on repeat.
Wow.
So he goes to the Beverly Hills Hotel where he rents a room for his aides, his wife, and numerous girlfriends. Now, eventually his wife does leave him, but this lifestyle is fine for a bit. And this is his second wife by then as well. And he would sit naked in his bedroom with a pink hotel napkin placed over his genitals, watching movies. And this again, people have suggested that he finds clothing too painful because of this allodynia.
Okay. Sure
thing.
Yeah, that's why you have a premier in napkin on your dick. That's fine.
I hope he tipped whoever does the room service handsomely. I mean, this sounds like a hell.
Yeah, they're cleaning around him, right? Because he won't leave the room. He's not going to leave the room.
No,
come in. Go ahead and clean.
He would basically move into a penthouse for a year at a time. And then there's this whole thing where, like, he was getting taxed in California. So he goes to Las Vegas and he's in the penthouse in this hotel in Las Vegas. And they're getting really annoyed because they reserve the penthouses for, like, the really big rollers that are going to gamble loads. Wow. They're like, you're going to have to leave. Question, what does he do when they say you have to leave?
Well, he obviously goes and gambles millions, right?
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's gambling. What I would do.
He wouldn't leave to gamble, though. He probably just gives the money. Like, okay, well, what will it cost for me to stay here?
A million on red or something, he'd say. Like,
yeah, like, go put in a bet.
I've been to Vegas,
me.
Guys. I know the terms. But, you know, would he do that? Because okay, he's got, so, if he's a billionaire.
Tell them yeah. Napkin Hughes
so
sent
we've,
you.
We've got gambling. We've got sending people to gamble.
He leaves feces in the room. So people find it too gross to even.
So no one wants the room.
Yeah.
Do you know what? In a way, you are the closest.
In a way.
You are still okay. Incorrect. What he does is he buys the hotel.
Wow.
Oh.
This is a succession episode.
Oh my god.
So he just does that, and then he buys loads of land in Las Vegas. Oh, there's a thing where he like buys loads of television companies so that he can put on the TV that he wants because they don't have like late night TV in Las Vegas at this time.
So, do you know what? I'm going to say it. Some people have too much money.
I was just going to say, like, this is a great case study in how maybe there should be a cap on what any one person can have.
Absolutely.
Call me a commie if you will.
So, but in the meantime, before we have the cap, he gets to watch his favourite old movies on late night TV because they didn't have any late night stations until he bought them and set them up and made everyone put his movies on.
Oh, just add that, like, you could have got a VCR, right? Like, it was the 70s.
No, because actually some of this is the 60s. Okay. We're getting to the 70s.
He sounds like a Roman emperor with technology.
Yeah. He is. Oh, there's this.
His toga is a napkin.
It's old tiny toga.
Old tiny toga.
I'll quickly tell you this. Okay. So
I hope he folded it like occasionally into like a swan. Like, did he do that today? I folded it into a, you know, some origami, some dick origami.
No,
is what I'm asking.
We don't
for.
Have that information. He's so secretive.
Okay.
I want to tell you this story. I just love giving you the stupid facts, but they're the most fun. So he's got this inner group of aides that are running his business and doing his every whim. He decides that he's obsessed with this banana ice cream from Baskin Robbins. It's like this banana and nut ice cream. He's like, I want this, like, that's all I want right now is this banana and nut ice cream. So the aides try and get it from Baskin Robbins, but it's been discontinued.
Oh, shit.
So they have to, like, they're like, well, can you make it again? Because Howard Hughes wants it. And they're like, well, there's going to be a minimum order. You need like loads and loads of gallons of this ice cream for us to actually do this. So they're like, yes, money's no object. Please make us the ice cream. So they order all of this ice, 350 gallons of this ice cream. And by the time they've got it, he doesn't like the ice cream anymore.
It's like a toddler, isn't it? Like,
yes, a rich, rich toddler.
Billionaire toddler.
I was a bit disappointed. I thought he would buy the ice cream company this time.
No. Yeah, actually, he's got form. He should have done that. So a few days after it arrived, he announced that he only wanted French vanilla ice cream. So they've got all of this banana ice cream, and now it's like this legend. So when the Desert Inn ended up distributing free banana ice cream to casino customers for a year.
Oh my God.
And then this, in 1996, this interviewer that had been like in Howard Hughes' chief of Nevada operations said that there's a rumor that there's still some banana nut ice cream left in the freezer in that place.
So we can assume it wasn't quite organic though. You can keep the ice cream. I know it's in the freezer, but for years, God. What chemicals are in it?
It's got all the right chemicals.
I know.
I grew up on Baskin Robbins. Look at me. It's not natural.
So, like, as we, you know, he's got these head traumas, probably. I think it's probably fair to say that Howard Hughes was suffering from some kind of mental health issues. Probably could have benefited from some psychiatric support.
Perhaps.
But if you're a billionaire and or in the 70s, that's probably not going to be forthcoming. You know, because, like, Britney Spears did less than this. No one's coming for Kanye West. Anyway, so basically, you know, he's just surrounded by yes men.
Yeah.
This is so shit. How many psychiatrists does it take to section a billionaire? None. He's too rich.
just a little one-liner.
Yeah.
Love it.
You got to try, haven't you? So Clifford and Susskind actually do quite a lot of painstaking research for this book. So it looks like authentically that's the only way they could have got the information, because it's stuff that only he would know. And so this film with Richard Gere is full of them getting up to scrapes and japes trying to, like, get this. They're tricking people. They're nicking files.
But no buts.
No butt okay. stuff. They're sneakily, doing photocopying stuff. There's one bit where they steal classified documents from, I think, the Pentagon. Just classic japes, you know. Now,
I want to say.
So you mean,
Pentagon?
Like, they made the book appear factual, but it's fictionalized?
Yeah.
Just like The Crown. Basically.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, they've stumbled on. What's happened is they've done too good a job that now lots of people are starting to get worried. So some of what they find out that only Hughes could know links to a big scandal that is about to hit America but hasn't yet happened. Question, what is it?
Watergate!
Yay! Watergate.
Wow.
You are correct. So there's all this stuff on, like, so in the 50s, Hughes had lent Nixon's brother Donald like $250,000 to bail out a restaurant. There's like a few different bits and pieces flying around that's on record. And then there was like a suggestion of money laundering, but was it money laundering? And there was a couple of things that did, there was something about tapes. Nothing's ever actually properly concrete in this book, but this book knows too much because obviously they've nicked classified documents.
Right.
And there were also, at this time, there were already people on the trail of Watergate a bit, like, because there were obviously those failed break-ins before they even get to the bit. So there's lots of moving parts. That
Tricklegate.
Yes, exactly. So this kind of crashes into some of the things that are already happening. But again, it's a fairly safe assumption that Hughes won't get involved. But then, you know, suddenly he does. The film hints, and there's different versions of this online, that basically Nixon makes a call. And that's why Hughes bothers to step forward to denounce the book. It's difficult to verify that for sure because the internet is full of contradictory things. But
we
now
know that Nixon worked in an office with a telephone. So.
Right, he had access to a telephone.
I don't want to throw the book.
That's all I need.
So now we're up to speed. We're back at how we started at the beginning. We've got this eccentric billionaire. We've got this book being denounced. And then go like, oh no, we've got your signature. So we've still got the publisher saying, but we've got your signature. We've still got Hughes not wanting to appear in public, but trying to denounce this book. So question, how does Howard Hughes denounce the book while not appearing in public?
I mean, we need to go back to the wig, right? he's wearing a wig and he comes as his own lawyer or something.
Yes, there's going to be a video.
There's got to be something that he...
Yes.
That he does, pretending to be someone else. But the thing that gives him away is he's only wearing a napkin.
I think he would have sent in a cassette.
Okay.
And after it's being played, the cassette will explode like Mission Impossible. Nice. That's my guess.
That's great.
I like it. Yeah, I think there's maybe a video of him in a wig pretending to be somebody representing Howard Hughes. Although that feels a bit ballsy for somebody that's such a recluse. But maybe a wig gave him courage, as it does with us all.
Okay.
All worn wigs, right?
You guys
feel like a different person.
Do you know what? It's not wigs.
Damn it.
I will get to the wig in a minute.
Okay.
It is telephone. The answer is telephone. Mm. So, but then we have the problem of how we work out who is really on the other end of the telephone line. Right. So, because basically it's paper versus voice right now.
It's not Alien versus Predator, is it? It's not like as exciting. It's like,
I hope they are not getting an expert to verify his voice. Remember the expert that verified his signature. That didn't do a really good job.
You would absolutely think.
Bring in your shoddy voice expert.
They've had enough of experts.
Hey everybody, I'm Howard Hughes.
This
is a real book that I wrote.
They have not yet had enough of experts. They get experts in. And what happens is they have a press conference. This press conference gets held with all of the sort of Hughes' favourite journalists from back when he still saw people. So all the people that he'd sort of most liked or that vaguely had a relationship with him are there at this press conference. And Hughes conducts the press conference by phone. And they have, and it's like a long, it's like a good half an hour old, like it's like a proper length press conference. They have this spectrographic voice print analysis.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That just sounds like words.
Yeah. The Channel 5 documentary.
I don't trust it.
I know. Well, it measures the tone, pitch and volume, and it was conducted to determine if the speaker was indeed Howard Hughes. And the voice analyst correctly identified that the speaker was Hughes.
Okay.
So, uh-huh. It's officially Hughes on the phone, denouncing this book, holding a press conference, calling it a scam. So the jig is up. Question, does Irving admit that he was lying about this book?
I think that you're within a sort of space where, with him, that you can sort of say that he did agree to it, but he's clearly kind of so eccentric that he forgot. And actually, this is really sad because I put a lot of work into this. And he's changed his tune. I feel like if you're ballsy enough to do that anyway.
In the first place, yeah.
Yeah, you might also be like,
double down.
Well, actually, it's like, what was it, the guy that escaped from prison recently? And then they caught him. And then there was a thing saying he's denied it. He said he's not guilty. And I just saw someone on Twitter saying, let's hear him out. But that really makes me laugh, because I think actually if you're going to do something that crazy, you kind of, maybe you just sort of stick to your guns.
I agree, because the fact that Howard Hughes denounced it is the best promotion possible. So you should commit to it, because the book's going to sell.
Yeah, what's in there?
The unofficial... What was
100%
it?
Unofficial annual.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's the real dirt.
Do you agree, Taylor?
Yes, I agree.
You're all wrong, I'm afraid.
Oh! Too much morals in the 70s.
What? So he admits that he was lying. Everything comes tumbling down. Within a few weeks, there's this federal and state investigation, as well as bank offices in Geneva. So basically, they try to cash... So what they do is they get Clifford's then wife, Edith, to put on a wig, go to Switzerland, cash this check as Helga... Helga Hughes, the HR Hughes is Helga Hughes. So that's the fraud part, and the mail fraud and all of that is all tied up with that.
We're going to need a wig. I love that they're like, you can't do this on your own.
I just thought the poor woman from Edith to Helga, this is no improvement at all in either language.
I feel like she could have kept her natural hair. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I guess she didn't want to look like, I guess they wanted to end the paper trail. I don't know. So it's all in the Swiss bank account because they think it's going to be safe, but then it all gets, you know, it all gets found out and investigated. And she had a forged passport as well. So they nearly pulled off this stunning fraud, but they didn't. And then all of the, like, the escapades of what they've done coming out is basically more sensational than the book, because everyone was even more amazed by this than they were about the book. And also some of the extracts from the book had been published in magazines before. So even though the book does not get published, the information, some of it is already out there in the world. And there are people that think that actually is partly what caused Watergate.
It snowballed, basically.
Yeah. Right. And that if this hadn't happened, that maybe Watergate might not have happened.
They are lucky they're in the 70s, because if it were today, someone would upload the entire BDF on the internet.
Yeah, it's very much a because it was that time crime.
Do you think any of them go to prison?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I think they're still there now.
Feels like quite a big fraud. I feel like they probably, and he admitted it as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not for long.
Okay.
But I think a little bit of prison.
Oh, I think yes, because Nixon will want him in the prison. So he can't talk. Yeah.
Okay. So Clifford only gets 17 months. Susskind gets 5 years.
And
he wasn't like, the only reason I can think that he gets more than Clifford is because he actually, in the film, he's the one that nicks the classified documents. So I don't know if he kind of, although he was less the ideas man, he kind of did a bit more of the legwork. And then Edith gets 2 months in New York, and then she has to be extradited to Switzerland because her part of the crime is international.
Oh, does she bring the wig with her though?
Or? I mean, the wig is the evidence.
Burn on, Helga!
I feel like the Swiss kind of judiciary system is probably a little bit more chill. Like just have a turbo and sit down.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Absolutely. Don't go in too hard. We still have our business to promote. Secret bank.
But yeah, and then so Clifford writes a book about it, like how he hoaxed, you know, the Howard Hughes hoax. And then he's so annoying because it's like really unreliable. So he writes this book about all the escapade of doing it. And then over time, he's been like, ha, that was a lie in the book and that's not true. And oh, no, that was true. I was just saying it was a lie at that time. So no one knows what's true and what's not. He was a lot. So he dies in 2015. The film comes out in 2017. So he did get to see the film with Richard Gere. And then he's like, ha, loads
of it. I was never this good looking.
Yeah. I really don't like him. He has like a ton of wives. He'd like poor Edith. I don't like him. But what I like about this case is that this book was just too good and too credible, and it flew too close to the sun and drew more attention than it might have needed to. And they nearly got away with it if it wasn't for that pesky Nixon. So
it was a deep fake before deep throat.
Yeah.
Did anything happen to the publisher though?
No. I mean, they probably didn't make them look good. But no, they didn't get prosecuted at all. But I guess let's raise a glass to crimes.
Cheers.
Drunk women solving crime.
Dear drunk women, I have a cold case I need you to help solve. Now, this is from a listener who loves baking cakes and loves vanilla. And she lives with her mum, dad, brother and cat. And she gets really fancy vanilla.
Okay, I respect her immediately.
She splashes out on the good stuff. So she's got very expensive vanilla extract and a glass jar of vanilla bean paste. Very adamant about how much she loves vanilla. But it is expensive. She buys the good stuff. So last week, me, my mum and dad and brother went away for a few days. We have a cat sitter who we've had look after the cat and has done so on 3 other occasions. She is a strange one, but she seems nice. The day before... The day before we went away, I used some vanilla extract. I did not finish it. It was not empty. I know it was there when we went away. We got home on Sunday. I've not been able to find the honey since we got back. And on Wednesday morning, yesterday, I needed to use some vanilla extract, but I couldn't find it anywhere, nor could I find the vanilla bean paste. They had both, along with the honey, completely disappeared. Me and my mum searched the kitchen high and low for the missing vanilla items, but they are nowhere to be seen. I've confronted all my family members about this, but nobody knows. I think they are telling the truth. The only other suspects are the cat sitter, the cat, and the ghost. I just can't understand how the vanilla items in the cupboard were there when we were there and then disappeared when we got back. Did the cat sit a steel vanilla extract and paste along with the Tesco honey? I can't believe this would be the case, but there's no other explanation unless the cat or the ghost, but I'm not buying that.
Are we just dropping ghost into this?
Yeah, I was going to say, did I miss a bit where it said
the
ghost?
The ghost is unexplained.
Okay.
But the ghost is more for knocking things over and the cat doesn't have hands. So what do you think happened? Did the cat sit a steel vanilla and why would she even do that? I need your words of wisdom, drunk women. And that is from Isabel.
Well, Isabel, like, it's amazing you've trusted us with this, because this is the most serious listener crime we have ever heard.
And have you been affected by any of the issues?
I feel like I can solve this.
Go on.
Ooh. The cat sitter did it.
Okay.
Had no idea that it was very expensive vanilla paste. I think that she was just like, oh, yeah, great. I'm going to do a quick bit of baking or whatever. I'm going to have some vanilla. Doesn't realise it's top drawer vanilla. Mm. My friend, she was once at a house party and someone cracked an egg on her head. And so sure. she had to, then they had to, like, she was washing it in the shower. But, like, the person, it's her sister who got the egg cracked on her head.
Okay.
And then they went to clean it in the shower, but it was my friend's shampoo that they used, and she had this really posh shampoo that she spent loads of money on, and you only maybe use like a tiny bit. Yeah, and they just like used loads of it to wash this egg off this girl's head.
Sure. Okay.
And then that was like however much money, because it was like basically empty because they had to wash her hair a few times.
Right.
And then she like couldn't ask them to get like another one because...
I bet her hair looked fantastic after that treatment.
Yeah. But she was like, it's my extravagance, so like why should they pay for it or whatever.
Yeah,
but so I wonder if it's that. I wonder if it's the, it's like, because most people don't think about the cost of vanilla anyway. That is my suggestion.
That's interesting.
And honey has gone missing.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think of the recipe that uses honey and vanilla.
Ooh, like quite a nice cake, I imagine. Like, you've got honey and vanilla in the same cake.
Yeah, well,
I
mean, there is some.
I would eat whatever it is.
I think the cat sitter did it.
Okay.
But maybe not in the way she thought, because it's so much work and effort to bake something, right? So you would see some floral residual, so maybe they use as a lubricant.
Oh my gosh.
I love that, like, having...
Wow.
Yeah.
And I kept getting distracted by the description that the cat sitter looks strange but nice. Like, are you talking about Noel Fielding? I'm so influenced by bake. I just think baking is too much an effort when you're just doing cats.
I love that. Okay. Like being very vanilla in the bedroom, but what I mean is
such an irony using vanilla to do very unvanilla things.
I don't call this vanilla when it's in my ass.
Also, though, you are.
It's to use the vanilla paste to disguise a discharge.
Oh, wow. I
think we might have cracked the case.
Crack being the operative word. Yeah.
Was your cat sitter had a partner who was reluctant to go down on them? She did what any sensible woman would, put lots
to
of honey
sweeten the deal.
Yes. God, I can't believe we've actually solved one.
I think
this is amazing.
Well,
there's a first time for everything.
Hope that helped, Isabel. So we have just enough time. Kwan Wen, what are you up to? What do you want to plug? Where can we find out more about you?
I really should have something to plug, but I've just been lying down since I came back from Edinburgh. Oh. So I have my Instagram account. Yeah. That's Kwan Wen Comedy. Cool. I'd like to say it's K for Kardashian, U for Unicorn, A for Ariana Grande, N for Nicki Minaj, W for Whitney Houston, E for Gloria Estefan. I haven't thought of the second N yet, but I hope
so. Ooh.
Nat King Cole, how's that?
Nice.
Yes. So I put most of stuff on Instagram.
Awesome.
Yes.
Cool. Well, it just remains to say thank you so much for joining us, Kwan Wen.
Thank you for having me. And no.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.